Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My first introduction into hazardous asteroids was the film Deep Impact. I watched it when I was fairly young and got so scared I left the room before the heroic ending and basically couldn't sleep for a week. But what exactly are asteroids? Matt Bothwell is an astronomer at Cambridge University's Institute of Astronomy.
Asteroids are basically debris that's left over from the formation of our solar system. So about 4.5 billion years ago, there was what we call our protostellar disk, which was a big cloud of gas in space that was on its way to forming the sun and the planets in our solar system. And then a lot of material that was left over and that didn't end up forming planets is just left over and accreted into small rocks that we call asteroids. It's basically the leftover debris from planet formation, the stuff that never quite made it into a planet.
Now, this isn't to be confused with a comet. Comets are what we call a dirty snowball. They're made from rocks and, importantly, ice, and come from further out in the depths of our solar system. But Asteroid Day is all about focusing on those dangerous objects. So how common is it for an asteroid to actually reach Earth?
Asteroids land on Earth all the time. The general rule is that the smaller the asteroids, the more common they are. So right down at the very, very smallest end, so stuff you might not even think of as asteroids, like kind of like fine sand dust from space, tons of that stuff lands on Earth every single day. There's a constant shower of very, very tiny things landing on Earth. Then as you go bigger and bigger and bigger, they get rarer and rarer and rarer. So kind of fist-sized asteroids that you might hold in your hand, several of them fall on Earth every day. Bigger things, car size, are kind of more rare, once a year, something like that. Then as you go up and up in scale, they get rarer and rarer and rarer. And you end up with things that are miles and miles across, the things that kill the dinosaurs. And those are one every 100 million year type events.
Yeah, let's hope so. Now, one person who is all too familiar with anticipating our demise is Adrian Curry from the Centre for the Study of Existential Risk. He told me about the event that kicked off our need for Asteroid Day in the first place.
The last relatively big thing to hit us was in 1908. That was about 100 metres in diameter. And people reckon that's about a 1 in 1,000 year chance. That was in Tunguski, which is somewhere where no one really lives, so far as I understand it. So it didn't cause too much of a problem. There was a much smaller one in 2013 that hit, I believe, in Russia, and that was only about 20 metres in diameter. That was a very small asteroid in terms of the things that get through and hit us. But that let off a force of about 3 times the nuclear weapons that were used during the Second World War. So if that fell in the wrong place, you could certainly have a bit of trouble.
That's certainly one way of putting it. And if an even bigger object hit us, it wouldn't be pretty.
Things in the immediate vicinity, of course, are just going to have this kind of blast, right? So you kind of imagine what you see in the reconstructions where everyone's kind of sitting there and this big wave hits them. But at a global scale, what you're going to really get is a large amount of dust and dirt and these sorts of things thrown up into the atmosphere. And that's going to have a whole bunch of downstream effects. One thing you're going to get is lower global temperatures. Another thing you're going to get is a big collapse in vegetative productivity. And that's going to be a really big problem, right? If you knock out the amount of things for people to eat over a 3 or 4 year period, that's going to cause a lot of trouble. You're also going to get a large amount of acid rain, which is going to, let's say, just break the oceans. It's going to increase the acidity of the oceans. And we've seen in the past, when you get increases in oceanic acidity, you get massive losses in biodiversity. So there's a whole bunch of features that you get when you get a big rock hitting the Earth, which can have these bad downstream effects.
But luckily, scientists across the world have put some thought into how we may be able to deflect these asteroids and hopefully avoid that scenario.
There are 3 kinds of options that people talk about when they talk about how to deflect what they call near-Earth objects, asteroids, these kinds of things. Now, I don't know if any of these would do much with something like a 15-kilometer-sized rock careening towards you. It's going to be hard to convince it to do otherwise. One they call a kinetic impactor. And what's that? Well, basically, you just hit it with something. You have a spaceship and you just fly the spaceship at the object in the hope that it kind of deflects it a little bit. One of the problems with this is that it's actually quite hard to aim and hit things in space. What the US government said last year is that if they had them set up, if they had the kinetic impactors in place, and they had 1 year's warning, it would be doable. But at the moment, they're not in place, and so we'd need, say, 20 years warning. So that's an option which could work, but is not going to work for a while. Another interesting option is what's called a gravity tractor. What this involves is, as things, of course, careen through space, they're affected by gravity. If you can put something with a bit of gravity next to it, that could slowly shift them out of their trajectory. And so the idea of a gravity tractor is, instead of hitting them with a little spaceship, you just send a quite dense little spaceship out there and just have it kind of sit next to, as it were, the asteroid. And that's going to just slightly pull it out of its trajectory such that it misses the Earth. And the other one is the nuclear option, where you just attempt to blow them up with nukes. One downside with that is it's a little bit unclear whether you're going to end up with just lots of little bits of asteroid hitting you as opposed to lots of meteors hitting you rather than the one big asteroid.
So who are these planet protectors? Matt, any help?
There are lots of people out there who are putting in lots of time and effort to track and understand these asteroids. NASA is a big one of them. They have something called the Planetary Defense Coordination Office, whose job it is to monitor and track potential hazards from space. I think my favorite thing about this is that the person in charge of this, their job title is Planetary Defense Officer, which is probably the best job title I've ever heard.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.